Let's read once again Matthew chapter 15. 1 up to 20. The Bible says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he did not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men." 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Let's pray.
Sorry.
We want to thank you once again, O King of all glory, for the time given to us to come and worship you. We've been worshiping you from when we reach this place by singing, by praying, by offering, and I want to worship you by hearing from you through your word. May you use me, Lord, and talk to your people to the glory of Jesus Christ. All these things we pray through he who loved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah, we are going to go together through this portion of the Bible. And the message that I'm going to teach from here, I named it Human Traditions versus God's Commandment. And the Bible says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus. That this was after he had crossed over from the other side of the sea into Galilee. Yeah, you remember what had taken place in the other portion of scripture before this. Now, when they learned that he was there in Galilee, immediately the scribes and the Pharisees came from Jerusalem. Who are the scribes? These are special scholars and teachers of the Torah or of the law. Yes, these were educated people. They alone could interpret well the law, the Torah. And the Pharisees, as you know, it was a religious sect. At the same time, a political group, a political party in Palestine. These Pharisees were known for insisting that the law of God be observed as the scribe interpreted it. The scribes could interpret the law. Then the Pharisees had to insist that people leave it, put it into practice. They came to him. Hear what they told him. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And they went ahead explaining that tradition of the elders that is the disciples of Jesus Christ transgressed. They say, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. That was a big sin to the Pharisees and scribes. Let us understand what they mean by tradition. The traditions, these are customs that are handed down from one generation to the next orally. You know, in Africa we didn't have the culture of writing. Many things that we know now about our ancestors, we knew them by traditions of, or they could pass them to the children, to the next generations. When we were young, especially these days, it's no longer there. Every evening you could sit around fire, especially in villages, with an elder. Yes, and they start narrating to you the stories of long ago. So this is how people could keep their traditions. No, in Buganda we don't do this. In Bugishu we don't do this. In Ankole we don't do this. Those are the traditions. And the word elder here simply means ancestors. And in verse 3, Jesus answered them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? The Pharisees saw Jesus, the disciples of Christ, break their traditions. Jesus also saw the Pharisees also break the commandments of God because of their traditions. Now, because the Pharisees explained to Jesus clearly in which manner his disciples had broken the customs, their traditions, Jesus also could not just stop by saying, you also break the commandment and stop them. He had also to continue explaining them how they break them. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then He need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Now, let me explain what, because it's not easy, you might not understand what's going on, what these guys were doing. Jesus Christ is talking about the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother so that you may stay long on earth. And another law of God still in the Old Testament said, whoever disobeys his father or mother should be put to death. So that's the commandment of God to show to us how important parents are. If you don't obey your parents, there's no way you can convince us that you are born again. No way. You need to obey your parents. And you cannot obey your father and mother at home. Then, in Ibunamwaya, you abuse the age mate of your father and mother. Your father and mother is not only those who gave birth to you. No. You need to understand what those commandments, they go deep, you know. Now, that command of God was there. The Pharisees also had their traditions. And they were teaching people like this. If your father or mother has got a need, excuse me, let me first go a little bit back so that you understand how these were breaking this law. Obey your father, honor your father and mother. I want you to understand what God means by that. It also, taking care of them is part of honoring them. You have a job, you are doing business, look after them. When they are sick, take them to the hospital. It's also part of that. If you fail to take care of them, you are not honoring them. Now the Pharisees said, yes, you can look after your parents. But if you want to offer something to God, and then your mother or your father comes to you and say, my daughter, my son, I have this need. Can you help me? Tell him or her, I would be helping you, but this money, I've already given it an oath. It's like I've already kept it for God. Even if it is still with you, but you say, this one, I'm going to offer it to God. So I can't help you. Let me repeat again, verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.
Verse 5.
I would have given you, but this is for God, so I can't give you. Verse 6. Then he need not honor his father or mother. These are still the words of the Pharisees to people. When it comes to something you want to give to God, you are free not to honor your father or your mother. I think even to some of us it can make some sense. To the our friends in the charismatic Pentecostal world, it makes much sense. Let me give you a typical example so that you understand well in our modern time. We hear churches ask people to sow seeds. So you need to sow a bigger seed. A fat seed. That's how Abel offered. So now, if you have, let's say at home you have 1 million, it's your Alpha and Omega. It's your only man you have. Then the man of God or woman of God, whatever they call themselves, says, go and get whatever you have and offer it to God. Honor God with your possessions. Then you pledge to bring that money. When you go home to fetch that money, you find your mother or your father very sick, dying. And then the neighbors tell you, oh, good enough you've come. We don't have money to, but she needs to be rushed, or he needs to be rushed to the hospital. Do you know what the Pharisees were telling people? Tell them, I have some money with me here, but it's to offer to God. And the Pharisees told us, if it comes to honoring God, I'm free not to honor my father or my mother. That's what was going on. So then Jesus Christ continues. Let me pick it from verse 6. Then he need not honor his father and or mother. That's the end of the words of the Pharisees. Then Jesus continues, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. I think to all of us this could make sense. Yes, if I've pledged something to God and I find this other, my mother, my father needs something, I can't give you even a coin because I need to honor. I'd rather obey God rather than men to start quoting scriptures. Verse 7, Jesus calls them hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me? Hypocrites. Now you can ask yourself, why? What was Jesus meaning here? Did he mean that I can pledge to give money to RBC? But if my mother or my father has got some need, I should not bring it? Or what's that? If you pledge, you will bring it. But don't bring it and leave your parents die. I'm interpreting scripture. You need to honor them. Part of honoring them, I said, is taking good care of them. I don't say you give the money to your mom, to your dad, and then it's over. Pastor said it's over because I honored my mother. This one is not what I'm saying. You can just say, elders, the money I pledged, I told you it was at home, but I found my mother's had this problem. I first made it, but please, I'm sorry, I want to make it tomorrow as I pledged, but I'll bring it.
Yeah.
So that you serve, you honor your mother, your parents, and you also serve, honor God. We are not meaning, Jesus was not meaning that you need to honor your parents more than God. No. It's only because the Pharisees were putting it clearly that you are free to dishonor your father and mother. Verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now here you can wonder. Because they saw the disciples of Christ eat food without washing their hands. And that's why they were attacking Jesus. And Jesus is defending these people who ate with dirty hands. Don't get a doctrine blindly from here. Okay, then. From today I'll start eating food without washing my hands. You will die with cholera. And God will not defend you. Here Jesus was not, preaching against good health or good health conditions. No. Jesus Christ did not say, my disciples continue eating food without washing hands. No! Simply because the mere fact that they ate without washing hands, these people, got it more serious than even the commandments of God. But Jesus in any way did not say, no, you should not be healthy. You need to be healthy. Be clean. Don't eat food without washing hands. That's what we are telling you at RPC. Jesus Christ in any way, I repeat this again, was not preaching for eating food without washing hands. No. And he has explained, he has put it clear to the multitudes. Say, but use your common sense. What goes inside the stomach will not make someone a sinner. Only what comes out of him. And he brought a list there of things that come from outside and make us sinners. At this point, on verse 10, some people say, oh, thank you, God, thank you. Because on the list, let's go to the list that Jesus Christ gave here. The list of things that defile, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile man. 19. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Jesus says these are the things that come from our hearts and make us sin. But what comes from outside, inside your stomach, how will they make you sin? And say, oh, I've been relieved. My Uganda waraji. Oh, And you start naming them there. Okay.
So,
if I took my beer, all these things, I just drink them, I'll be okay. That's not what Jesus Christ is teaching here. Remember, like wine and beer, the Bible in many, many places teaches against it. Simply because these things that Christ named here on his list, wine brings them. Yes, it brings them. You get drunk, you'll start doing some of these things here. But apart from these things that can push you to sin, others, I'm also with Jesus, eat. Pork, eat. Rats, eat. Yeah, in Zambia, I saw with my friend, Joroge, they were selling them on the side road, roadside. Well, I mean, roasted. Five kwacha, 10 kwacha. That means they enjoy them and they tell you they are very delicious. What's wrong with that? Jesus has said, it will, by eating it, you cannot be a sinner. We enjoy senene here, grasshoppers. People from other places, when they found us eating those. Yeah, so you need to avoid things that can come from out, inside, but and then they make you to sin. Avoid those. But every other thing that it will just go in there. Enjoy. 12. Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone." The Pharisees were offended. And the disciples, because Jesus Christ did not hear, they said, "Master, should we tell you?" These guys were offended by your words. I like the answer of my Lord. Any tree, any plant that my Father did not plant will be uprooted. Let them alone. Have you heard Jesus say, "Are you sure?" No, the Bible says you need to make peace with everyone. Let's go to where they are and I repent. Friend, let us know, learn how to interpret scriptures well. Yeah, sometimes you get a scripture and you misinterpret it yourself. Let us make peace with everyone. You won't. I'm not breaking scriptures. You won't. There are other people that you have to speak the truth. If they want to be offended, let them be offended. Period. I always tell people, I'm now used to being stoned on Facebook. I'm used now. You post something there, all of a sudden you start getting stones from your former friends from the Pentecostal movement. They start stoning you. What's wrong with you? You backslid. You fell from the grace. You need to repent. Remove that post there. I'm used now. Do I remove those posts because they say remove? I don't. Jesus Christ didn't go to the Pharisees and said, oh, you guys are here that you've been offended. Forgive me, let us make peace. Let them alone. I don't say you should be there offending people. This is not what I'm telling you guys. Make peace. Because you know, when I post my things, I don't target anyone, I just post, and then people start stoning. Then what should I do? Don't start offending people saying, oh, our Lord did not bother, so let me offend them. No, that would be sinning. What I'm just saying is, you are doing the right thing. And what you are doing is supported by scripture. But people will always be offended. The witch doctors, without any founded reason. If people get offended without any founded reason, let them alone. If anyone gets offended with you and there is a reason, repent. People will always be offended. It's now upon you and me to go back and say, let me try to check the reason why they are offended. Don't just use this word of Jesus Christ, let them alone. I mean, just anyhow. No. But a fellow pastor was offended by one of my emails sometime back. And he said, no, this is not good. Then when I touched him inside myself, I said, yes, here I didn't act well. I wrote back and said, brother, I repent. Please forgive me. I have seen I did not do it well. Though what I wrote might have some sense there, but I did not follow the right procedure. Forgive me. Later, he wrote back to me and said, yes, if you want me to forgive you, do it again openly. You sent it to many people. Or again, repent to all those people. Let all those people. I said, it's okay. I went. I did wrong. Please feel free to forgive me. Don't offend anyone. If you can live a life that does not offend people, it would be good. It would be better. Work hard the way you can not to offend people. But I offend many. Without wanting it. Someone like Mama Fina, the leader of all witch doctors in Uganda. How can you fail to offend her? Because whatever you post is for, it will offend her. So let her alone. People who are making the youth of Uganda mad. After making them dogs, you are not satisfied, you want to make them mad. Those people will always be offended with you, always. Always. My Bible always, and it in Christianity, you know it, people always say the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's how that list is. Shadrach comes first, S. Shadrach, M. Meshach, then Abednego. Why are you changing the order and say Meshach? Abednego! Daniel! You know something. Never offend anyone. If anyone gets offended for no reason, let them alone. They are blind leaders. This is a continuation of verse 14. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Again, Peter. I like this guy. You know, his character before the Holy Spirit came down. Yes, he was living in the flesh. He was acting in the flesh. But his friends always knew, learned things because of him. Others could not get the courage of coming to ask, just, but what's the meaning of this? But Peter could ask. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you hear now the question of Jesus Christ? Huh? He's sort of surprised. Up to now, Peter, you guys, are you also, now he's addressing all the disciples, are you also still without understanding? Also still. Remember, it is just is it chapter 14 where he explained again things to them? Yeah, just 14, 13 there, the parables. And that's why he's saying, are you also? So also like those, okay? Also, you members of RBC, also like those, still. And then 17, he says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. If I spend the whole day without bathing in this, hot season, then in the night I just go on my bed. How have I sinned? You have not sinned, but you are dirty. Yes, not being a sinner will not make you a clean person. You are dirty. And yet, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to be clean and orderly. Yeah, don't start just reading scripture and start applying them wrongly. Let us apply a few things here as we are planning to end. Let me remind you of the topic of my message. Human traditions versus God's commandments. They are at friction, they are fighting. Since time immemorial up to these days. Now listen. The word tradition comes from the Latin words trans, which means over, yes, and dare, which means to give. So therefore, these two words together mean to give over, to pass over, yes. A transmission of information, of beliefs, of customs from ancestors to their posterity without written record. Yeah, this is according to the Webster Dictionary. Now, when great reformers like Martin Luther, when they began to challenge the Catholic Church for scriptural authority, on many of its practices, immediately a council was convened, was called in 1546. Yes, because Martin Luther started moving up around saying, no, this and this and this are not supposed to be in the church. Then the Catholic also called this meeting, in which was declared that tradition should be regarded as divine authority. On equal basis with scriptures. So, what was decided on this council is what the Roman Catholic Church believes up to these days. That tradition should be regarded as a divine authority. Equal with the scriptures. And let me quote from the minutes. That's what I told you about the minutes. When you have a meeting, you write minutes down. Those things are still kept at Vatican. Let me quote from those meetings. The Catholic Dictionary on pages 41 and 42 says, 41-42, and here I quote, it is an article of faith from a decree of Vatican Council that tradition is a source of theological teaching. Distinct from scripture. And that it is infallible. It is therefore to be received with the same internal assent of scripture. For it is the word of God and of God. Again, the Catholic Catechism for adults. Catechism, for adults, on page 11 says this. I quote, do you have to believe in tradition? It's a question. Yes, because it is the word of God and has equal authority with the Bible. So no one should deceive you that Catholics believe in the Bible alone. What is truly sad is that many of traditions which were introduced by the Catholic Church are still believed and practiced by churches today. Many of the things that are done in the churches came not from scripture but from the other book of traditions. Because for them they believe it's okay, it's just equal with the Bible. And yet, our Lord Jesus Christ in many occasions contrasted the traditions of men. Brother Paul in the Bible fought with the traditions of men. The word tradition, that word tradition in the New Testament, in the Greek, it is found 13 times. But among the 13 times, only 3 times does it carry a favorable connotation. It is well spoken of. Only 3 times. 10 other times, it's really not good. In all of the other passages, it incurs the disfavor of Christ and Apostle Paul. We don't have enough time. I'd like us to read those 3 passages where it is spoken of well. But let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 11, just quickly. 1 Corinthians 11, 2. And the Bible says this. Now I praise you, brethren, that you are member, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. So this, you see here, he's talking positively about traditions. But not the traditions of our ancestors. He's talking about the traditions of the faith. If you want to know them, go to the preaching of Peter in Acts 2. Go also to the preaching of Stephen before he was stoned. You remember how God called our father Abraham and he brought them. These are the traditions Paul is talking about. You received them well. I'm happy with you guys. 2 Thessalonians 2. Yes, Thessalonians, where traditions are spoken of well. 2:15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says this. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by words or our epistle. 2:15, 2 Thessalonians.
Kaino abuganda muyibirirenga era munywezenga bimwawebwa ne muyigirizibwa oba mu kigambo oba mu baluwa yaffe.
Keep them.
Mubinyweze.
The traditions of faith.
Obulombolombo bwezi.
Not of ancestors. Finally, the same book, chapter 3, verse 16. He says this. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. Is it the one? 3:16? 2 Thessalonians? Maybe I wrote it wrongly because I don't see tradition here. Maybe first? I don't know. Okay. But there are 3 passages only where it is spoken all of well. Elsewhere, 3:6. Thank you so much. Let's read it in Luganda. 2 Thessalonians 3:6.
Era tubalagira abooluganda mu linnya lya Mukama wa Yesu Kristo. Mweyawulenga eri buli owooluganda atatambula bulungi newankubadde mu mpisa ze
Thank you, brother. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Thank you, brother. You know, we are fallen men. We are wretched people. When you are typing, instead of wretched, 3, 6, you, 1 comes there, 16. Sorry. But thank you so much for that. So, that's only the only place, three places where it was talked of well. The Catholics will bring these three passages to you. So can't you see if in the Bible allows traditions? Tell them to open with you Galatians. Galatians chapter 1:13 and 14. And this is what the Bible says: For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers.
Nga naiganya mikanisa ya Katonda watali kigera ne njinyaga
continue
ne kitilizanga mu mpisa ze Yudaya okusinga bangi bwe twakula mu ggwanga lyaffe nga mbakiranga okubeera n'obujja obungi ennyo mu mpisa ze naweebwa bajjajjange.
In the traditions of my fathers. You know how zealous I was in following the traditions of my ancestors. You know I am Paul. You know me. If it was to kill whoever did not want to follow our tradition, I could kill. But when he learned the truth, he denounced these traditions and turned to the Lord. Paul stressed his own authority. In the same book we've just read, verse 15 up to 17. But when it pleased God, you know, now we are picking from where he stopped, but he renounced it. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Let's go back to 11 and 12 of the same chapter. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Paul. He warned in his strongest possible language against any traditions that men might add. Verse 8 and 9, the same chapter. Verse 8 and 9 says this: But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you that what you have received, let him be accursed.
Wabulanga akolimirwenga nga bwe twasooka okwogera bwentyo bwe njogera kakano nate ekyo omuntu bw'ababuliranga enjiri wabula nga bwe mwaweebwa akolimirwenga.
This is how serious Paul was with the traditions of men. Very serious. Let him be cast. When we leave Paul, let's check our Lord Jesus Christ himself vis-a-vis the traditions of men. Jesus Christ regarded the human traditions of his disregarded the human tradition of his day.
Yes, Christ yalita kuatagana na ulongolongo kwenyono za
one. It was forbidden to pluck heads of grain on the Sabbath day. He broke it by allowing his disciples to pluck them on Sabbath. It was forbidden to heal anyone on Sabbath day. Excuse me. Up here, he allowed them to pluck them in Matthew 12, 1 up to
8.
Then healing on the Sabbath was not allowed according to men's traditions. He did so in Mark 3, 1 up to 5. And Luke 13, 10 up to 17.
Luke 13, 10 up to 17.
Also, it was not allowed to eat with unwashed hands. He was defending his disciples here. Let us end by looking at some human traditions that we still find in churches today. And when I was preparing this, someone I was just, oh my God, I feel, I say, God help RBC. What are traditions of men? Anything that is not found in the Bible. It came from people's mind through their too much knowledge and theology. Number one, we see lighting of candles during worship service in Roman Catholic churches. And incense.
No burn.
Where do you find that in scripture? Rubbish. Traditions of men. Putting on robes before you come to preach the priests of Catholic churches and Anglican churches. They quote wrongly from the Old Testament and they do that. Baptizing babies like Esther. It is not scriptural. Those are traditions of men. Okay, those are what you find in Roman Catholic churches and Church of Anglican churches. Come back to our own Christmas celebration. Where do you find it in scripture? Traditions of men. Check the words of my Lord Jesus Christ back to our scripture, Matthew 15. We need to be careful with these friends. He calls you hypocrite. Verse 7. Says, you people, draw near to me with your mouth. Verse 8.
Isaiah yalagula bulungi kumwe n'agamba nti abantu bano bansaamu ekitiibwa kya kumimwa.
So he says we draw near to him with our mouth. We honor him with our lips. But our hearts are far from him. Christmas celebration, where did it, where can you show it to me in scripture? Christmas trees that you find in most Christians' homes during Christmas season.
They got by
put their, how do you call these lights? You call them what? Christmas light or what? I don't know.
Disco light.
Disco light, huh? You know, a house of a pastor, a reformed pastor, you know, with those Christmas trees, but the Christmas trees have a wrong root, huh? Very evil origin, Christmas trees. A pastor, because they have money, put a big one in each corner of their house with those lights there, and they are celebrating Christmas. Celebrating Christmas. People have brought ideas of trying to defend, you know. Remembering the birth of Christ is not bad. Yeah, because when we remember it, that's what they say. Other people know that, oh, there's a Christ who was born. But you know that non-Christians are the ones who celebrate it more than us. And how many do you know in their testimonies of conversion, you hear that what brought me to Christ was Christmas celebration. I came to realize that, hey, there was a Christ who was born. I've never had myself to be sincere. So to me, that's my position. Those who celebrate Christmas, I don't blame them. But I don't see any importance of celebrating it myself. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of God and we'll account for whatever we've been doing, both actions and words. You become busy looking for chicken, why are you so busy? Tomorrow is Christmas. Next week is Christmas. New clothes. And are people seeing friends? Traditions of men. Let's go to this. I want us to keep repeating this verse. Part B of verse 6. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Not everyone who will be listening to this message, because I'm recording it, will be happy with me. But everyone is free to do what they want. Christmas celebration are part of the traditions of men. Baptizing babies are traditions of men. Having Christmas trees in your house. The teaching of sowing seeds are traditions of men. Putting on a necktie before you preach are traditions of men. But pastor, you are putting on one. I did not tell you that it's sin to put on one. What I'm meaning is, I know some reformed churches where they can't allow you to preach if you don't have a necktie. I do. And a suit. Yeah, well, you know, the way they explain it, it sounds nice to me. I like it. They say, if you are God's mouthpiece, you are going to stand for God to fetch from His word and tell people. You need to be, it makes sense, huh? It makes really sense. You need to be smart. But not up to the point of saying, you forgot it home, you won't preach. Is it the tithe that preaches? Is it the tithe that is saved? Those are traditions of men. Being smart is okay. Honoring the word of God with smartness the way I am now is okay. But telling me that if I was not the way I am now, I could not preach this sermon, those are traditions of men. Friday overnight came from traditions of men. At your church RBC, do you have Friday overnight? No, we don't have an overnight. No, I cannot be with you. Where do you find that in scripture that every Friday night you should be praying? Have I said it's bad? No. But when you make it a culture, a tradition, then you are outside the Bible. Putting on rosary. They are traditions of men. God is against that. Where do you find it in the Bible? Nowhere. Looking for mountains in order to pray. We've received two here. Two groups of people. From Congo, from Burundi, that they are coming to look for this prayer mountain because someone has told them that the prayer mountain in Uganda is still powerful. God is there. Those are traditions of men. To go and weed the graves of your ancestors because in your clan, it's believed that if your parents died, you need to be going there and we rotate. Next month it will be you go and remove the so that the ancestors who died are not hungry. Those are traditions of men. And these are the meetings that you have in your families. You go there. And sometimes you even support it to the scripture. Yes, one time Pastor Bill preached that I need to obey my parents. No, not in sin. Don't mention my name. Just go and do your family rituals. Don't mention my name. Embalu for the Bagishu. Traditions of men. You're a Christian, forget about all that. The rights of human kingdoms, Buganda Kingdom, Simanyi Rwenzori Kingdom, Simanyi Toro Kingdom, they have a lot of many rituals. They say, but even if I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Muganda. When my king passes here, I have also to put my chest down. Traditions of men. Family rites that are against scripture. Just your family like mine here. You have your small rules that are contrary to scriptures. The list is long. Even as I'm giving you these, the Holy Spirit is reminding you with others, even this and that and that and that and that is nowhere in scripture. Throw them! Throw them! I repeat again. Verse 6, part B. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. As I end, RBC, please. Let's go back and check our worship service and everything we do to remove everything that is not scriptural, but avoid going to the extremes. Pastor said, A tie is nothing, a suit is nothing, so I'll, you come one day to preach, you're very shabby. I did not say so. You don't comb your hair, you did not brush your teeth. No, pastor said it's the heart. No. Yeah, the truth is, if you are a mouthpiece, the herald for God, represent him well. But in case you don't have that tie or that suit, come here and preach Christ. May the Lord help us. Be ready to tell, it's coming from me again, after hearing from Christ that you should honor your father and mother. Go to your family and check. Whatever things that you do that don't honor God, say no, even if it's coming from your father and mother. Say no. You can't honor them when it comes to sinning against the living God. No. If there's no sin, please honor them. What the Pharisees were pulling rope with Christ here, there was nothing like sin here. May the Lord help us to continue loving him the way we do everything here and outside. Do you have a rosary? Burn it. If you fear it, bring it to us, we will burn it for you. You will go to hell with that rosary. It has nothing to do with God. God hates idolatry. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord. Many, many times our country traditions, family traditions, clan traditions, family traditions, even our personal traditions hinder us from your glory. We bring things, reasons, we try to defend things that are not there. Will you hear Christians, even reformed, defend Christmas like nothing? Lord, help us understand these things well. Help us serve you and you alone, so that we don't serve you with our lips and mouth alone, but let us serve you with our hearts. Receive all the glory, Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives, in our church, in our country, and in the whole world. Receive your glory. These things we pray through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.